in the middle of a series looking at our values as a church. Chris kicked us off with the presence of God, and he talked about how God is with us. His name is Emmanuel. And then Ali last week talked about worship, and I guess that defines who we are. We are a community who worships God, not just by singing songs, but in the way that we live our lives. And today I'm going to look at the Word. I always feel like I have to say it in an American accent, the Word of God. The Bible, the Scriptures. I'm just going to think about, actually, as a church, we highly value God's Word to us. I don't know about you, but I love God's Word. And I'm sure if we went around the room, there'd be many of us who would be able to say there's a bit of scripture that's been like a real anchor through different seasons in our lives. You know, where God really spoke to us, and the Word's just been a real source of comfort and encouragement and inspiration. And I guess, you know, at St. Matt's, we believe that God's Word, it carries His authority with it. We believe that it's God-breathed. There's something mystical about this book that is that speaks into our lives from God. It's God's Word to us. I've got a few Bible verses about the Bible. I thought that'd be a good way to start. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? But it's like all Scripture is somehow breathed upon by God, and it's useful. Not as a stick to sort of be waved over our heads, but to call us into who we're created to be. We're called, he's made us righteous in Christ, and it's like the Scriptures aren't wagging a finger at you, but it's saying, hey, this is who you are. Come and step into it. Psalm 1 is an amazing psalm on the Scriptures. And it says that the man who meditates on the Word day and night, it is blessed. There's like a blessing that comes when our lives are founded, when we're feeding off the Word of God. It has this amazing kind of picture of a tree by streams of living water. And it's like as we allow God to speak to us through His Word, as we draw nourishment from His Word, it's like we bear fruit and we thrive. So God's Word is God-breathed. It's His Word to us. It's authoritative. It nourishes us. But I wouldn't be being completely honest, would I, if I didn't say that sometimes the Word of God can also be a bit of a source of guilt and confusion. Would I be fair to say that? That sometimes when you hear people who know their Bibles really well, you sort of feel a bit intimidated as a Christian, and you think, oh my goodness, I know the Lord's Prayer. But it can be this source of guilt. Oh, how much do I read? Do I read it once a month, once a week, every day? And it becomes this thing in our lives that can scare us. And I just really want to spark a passion in us this morning for His Word. Because the Word of God is many things, and I couldn't go into all of those things. But I think, more than anything, God's Word is there to ignite a passion for Jesus in us. And that's our vision at St. Matt's, is to be have our hearts set on fire for Jesus. And this book is just an invitation into that. And it's God's gift to us. And it's not there for you to feel scared or guilty about. It's there as a wonderful invitation into a wonderful relationship. So I, bearing that in mind, I chose John 5 to read from, because in John 5, Jesus talks about the scriptures. He talks about the Bible, and I thought that was really helpful because this is Jesus talking about the Bible. And so I'm just going to put it in context for you. Jesus is in trouble again because he's been kind of healing people on the Sabbath day, and we all know that you're supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. And the people that he's speaking to are kind of the Bible trivia championship holders of his day. He is speaking to the people who we would feel intimidated by because they know, you know, they know all the genealogies just like that, and they've read, you know, Leviticus is their favourite Bible. It's that kind of crowd that Jesus is talking to, the people who have searched the scriptures. And he says the most incredible, staggering thing to these people. He'd think, wow, I really should be like those people. He says this: you search the scriptures diligently because you think by them you possess eternal life. So there they are. They are Bible trivia championship holders. And Jesus is saying, you know your Bible really well, but you've got it wrong. You see, they had this idea that in studying the scriptures, they were going to get somewhere with God. That they thought if they learnt the Bible well enough and if they put it into practice and they did all the rules and regulations, then in their own effort, they would attain eternal life. Jesus said, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. And then he says the punchline. Are you ready? These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You see, they knew their scriptures intellectually, but the scriptures aren't there for trivia. They're not there for good fridge magnets. They are there to lead us to Jesus. They're there to catapult us into an encounter with the living God. Matthew Henry, I did some commentary reading. Hope you're impressed. Said of this verse, he said this: the scriptures, even the Old Testament, testify of Christ, and by them God bears witness to him. Therefore, we must search the scriptures. I'm not saying don't search the scriptures. He says, therefore, we must search the scriptures because they testify of Christ. For this is life eternal, to know him. Christ is the treasure hid in the field of the scriptures, the water in those wells. You see, reading the Bible as an end in itself is no fun. Reading the Bible to be led into a deep relationship with a living person, a living being, Christ, is a lot of fun. When we read the scriptures with Jesus, when he's the centerpiece, when we're searching the scriptures because they point to him, then this book becomes a treasure trove. It becomes something delightful. Because all of a sudden we see Christ on every page. All of a sudden we see who we are in Christ, that we're his beloved, that we're his sons and daughters, that we're part of a massive story of God's redemption, that he is passionately in love with us, and that he's done everything possible to bring you and me into eternal life, an amazing relationship with him. The scriptures should catapult us into encountering our Saviour. It's interesting, isn't it, that when Paul was talking about the armour of God in Ephesians, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I love that. It just speaks to me of kind of that the Holy Spirit, that relationship, that indwelling relationship I have with him, linked with his word. That the Spirit and the word are inseparable. They go together. I'm going to depart from John and go to Luke, if you don't mind. And I just wanted to look at Luke 24. And it's just this amazing bit on after the resurrection. And it's Jesus is being really cheeky, and I love it. It's on the road to Emmaus. And somehow, like, Jesus is disguised on this road, and he's walking with some disciples who don't know he's been risen yet. It is hilarious and genius. I think it just speaks of the cheekiness of God. And he's like walking along with these guys, and he goes, so, anything happened lately in the last couple of days? And the guy's like, are you kidding me? I mean, all of Jerusalem has been in uproar. And he's like, oh, really? You know, just like really playing them. It's hilarious. And they begin to have this chat and say, well, you know, we had this Jesus, our Saviour, but he's died, and all our hopes are sort of gone. And then Jesus does something amazing. He says this, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And then it says this, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been on that walk when Jesus, beginning with Moses, began to tell them, you see Leviticus, you see Deuteronomy, you see the prophets, the finger isn't pointing at you, it's pointing at me. It's pointing at Christ. And then they go and have dinner, and Jesus breaks the bread, they have communion, and as he breaks the bread, he disappears. and that's the point when they go, oh, it's Jesus, and then he goes. And like, oh my goodness. I bet they had some serious questions going on. But then the disciples say this, and this is awesome. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning as Christ opened the scriptures that they knew so well? But now they're seeing it afresh, and it's bringing life, and it's bringing that passion. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, I want my heart to burn too. And that happens when we sit down on our own, but also with each other in community, and allow Jesus to open the scriptures to us, to let him show us that on every page the story of redemption is there, that on every page your story of healing and hope and redemption is there, that on every page God is prophesying about who you are and who he is, and it brings life. The word, ultimately, I believe, is there to ignite a passion for Jesus. Just an example of this week. We started praying together on a Monday morning as a staff team, kind of worship, and then we read a bit of scripture, and then we pray for the week. And we were in John, funny enough, looking at Jesus walking on the water. Now, I am a children's minister, and I have told that story, acted out that story, countless times at holiday clubs, at family services, at assemblies. I know it like the back of my hand. And here we were, reading it again. I was thinking, oh, cool, it's, you know, the story. And something fresh and new hit me that I'd never seen before. And it was just like God was speaking to me through something that I knew so well, but I'd never seen it before. And he was speaking to me of grace. I'll share with you briefly what it was. I hope it isn't too heretical. no, it won't be. we were looking, and it says, before Jesus was on the boat, a strong wind was blowing and the waters were there, and the disciples, they were rowing. They were rowing a boat, and I'd never noticed that before, that they were rowing the boat. And then it says, Jesus came along, and he said, Elijah, don't be afraid. And it says, so they invited him onto the boat, and it says, immediately the boat reached the shore where they were headed. And all of a sudden, it was like, John, so often you are rowing in your own strength, your own self-effort to get to your destination. But when you invite Jesus on the boat, the rowing stops, the self-effort stops, and you rest on his power and on his ability. I was like, wow, I've not seen that before, and it made me really happy. And it spoke to me of his grace. You see, we were reading in community, we were reading with the presence of God, and Jesus opened the scriptures to us. And my heart burned. My heart burned. So my prayer for us is that we would fall in love with this book, not see it as a finger-pointing book, not see it as a rule book, but as an invitation into the presence of Jesus, into knowing him, for this is eternal life, to know him. And that on our own and in community, we would allow God to open the scriptures to us, and that our hearts would burn. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are a God who's close, but you're also a God who speaks. And Lord, you've spoken to us through your word, and you've spoken to us through your Son. And Lord, I pray that as we read your word, that we would begin to see Jesus on every page, and that our hearts would burn as you open the scriptures to us. Amen.